Welcome to Frederick County Sports Weekend on WFMD, brought to you by Nimeo Federal Credit Union. I'm Pete McLeod. Ed Luly not with us today, but we have with us Steve Nibbs, longtime athletic director at Thomas Johnson High School in Frederick. And we're sad to say retiring. We're sad to see him. This was his last year, and we're going to talk about some of the changes that he's seen over the years and also his career. Well, welcome, Steve, to the show.
Thank you, Pete. Always a pleasure.
And, of course, we know each other from working together on basketball, football games
yes.
over the years, and you're going to be doing some more football for us this coming fall.
I hope so. That's a lot of fun for me. I really enjoy that.
And, of course, you were a coach, so you have that expertise and have actually been down there doing it, and that's you can't beat the voice of someone who's actually been down in the field.
Yeah. Albeit a few years ago, but thank you.
And, of course, we'll touch on it, but I didn't know. I was reading in the Frederick News Post when you first made the announcement you were leaving that you were a champion softball coach. I just never associated you with softball, and you actually won a state championship with Thomas Johnson, and were in the semifinals a couple of times, too.
Yes, I started out coaching football at TJ in 71, and when Dave Schrodel came on board at TJ, and that, you know, you couldn't ask for. He's one of the better coaches here in Frederick County, come on board with him. I thoroughly enjoyed those years at TJ. Then Tim Ambrose came on board the following year as an assistant. Then he went up and started the program at Middletown. And a couple years later, I was fortunate enough to go up there, and I spent 9 seasons with him at Middletown, which, again, you couldn't ask for one of the better coaches in the county. As well, and get to work with him. Came back to TJ with Coach Wright, and certainly we've
Ben Wright.
Ben Wright got to work with him those years, and so I'd always had a love for the game of softball and fast pitch softball, and I umpired for about 10 years, and really enjoyed the game that much, and finally the opportunity came for me to jump in as a coach, and so I took it, and was very fortunate, had some great players and great kids to work with, and 2 years after I started, we won a state title in 94, and then went to the state semis. It was 3 out of the first 4 years, or 3 out of the first 5 years I was there. Lost 1 year, 3-2, another year 1-0 in the semis. But that experience it was great. I really enjoyed it, and I miss coaching in general. I enjoyed it that much, because they made a ruling once I was given the opportunity to be athletic director at TJ. They made a ruling that athletic directors could no longer coach.
Yeah, see, that you used to be able to, you could be an AD and also be a head coach.
And, right, and that certainly it's a little discouraging at first because I enjoyed coaching.
But
I understand it was that was the right decision to make, the right policy to have, because as an athletic director, you need to be there for your teams during those seasons. And if you're coaching a team, for example, if I was coaching softball, I had an away game and there was something at home.
I
understood that.
Yeah.
It didn't make it me feel any better because missed the coaching, but I understood it. And that's just the way it is, you know. But I thoroughly enjoyed being athletic director as well because I got to see all the kids perform and grow, and that's why we're in the business we're in.
Now, you were 13 years, actually.
It was 14.
14 years as the AD. That's a long time for an athletic director. I see those guys having done the games for a number of years. I don't know anybody that's a harder working person than an athletic director, because you're running around doing everything. Especially, I see him at basketball probably more than anything, and I just don't know how they do it. And you know, they're just responsible for everything, right?
Yes. We take care of the scheduling of games, scheduling of buses for the teams, take care of any coaching issues, parent issues, player issues. Yeah, you're in charge of the whole athletic program and everything that goes with it. And yes, it's a lot of responsibility, but I just enjoy being around student athletes and kids. It's something I've felt since I was like 14 years old.
You said in the newspaper that you were actually a high school student or a junior high school student yourself.
Yeah,
the decision that you were going to. Now that not too many people say I'm going to be an athletic director.
Had a number of outstanding people, teachers, as I was growing up. I had a couple of them that made quite an impression in elementary school, and there were some more in junior high. And I just knew that that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to either teach in physical education or social studies, because I enjoyed history that much, and coach as well. So that it's true. A lot of students these days aren't quite sure what they want to do as far as their career is concerned.
Yeah.
But I knew that's what I wanted to do, and I've been very fortunate to be able to pursue that and be able to do that, and it's been, you know, gone by way too fast, Pete, as we know.
We all know that.
The years go by, but it has it has been absolutely a joy for me to be involved in not only teaching kids in class, but also coaching them and being around them. I will definitely miss that.
Yeah,
for
sure. Well, you're going to still, if you do some games for us, and you said you didn't rule out volunteering coaching. Sure.
I certainly am not going to rule that out. That's very well could happen, and I would look forward to doing that.
You know, Ed Lulley not with us for this program. I wish he was, because he, one of the people I think that fascinated him the most was your late coach, Ben Wright. We had so much fun with him when he would come on this show, and he was just he was himself. He was a character. He wouldn't change for anybody, and we're so glad he didn't, because that's what you loved about the guy. But I know Ed just was fascinated by him, and now he coached under you. How did that relationship go over the years?
It went very well, and that was unique in a sense, because I first came on and I worked under him as an assistant coach.
Wow.
In fact, Pete, we go further back than that. He and I played against one another in high school.
Because you played at Northwestern.
He was at Duval High School. And we always had a lot of fun, and especially every now and then with the kids when we were practicing, because the game, his senior year, he was a year ahead of me, the game that when we played them, his senior year, my junior year, they beat us in the last 2 minutes of the game. It was a fantastic ball game as far as itself. But he'd tell them, back in the day here when I was with Coach Nibs, I put him up in the nickel seats, and then I come back with, he wish he could hit me that hard. So we always had a lot of fun talking about the past, but we go back to those late 60s. And then I worked under him, and then I became athletic director, and he came back. Ben certainly made an impact on a lot of young men, not only at TJ, but at Roosevelt, at the other school, Eleanor Roosevelt, that he coached at. He had a very dry sense of humor. That's another gentleman who knew right out of high school, I think, that his career was going to be coaching kids, and coaching football. That was Ben Wright's life, and he did it very well.
Now, I'm thinking, just coming to my mind as some great coaches that you were associated with. Certainly, Tom Dickman, the legendary basketball coach at TJ, and you mentioned Ben Wright. And then also Tim Ambrose coming. What, you know, for you, what, from the coaches you observed over the years, what qualities make a good coach? Because you've seen, you've coached there three. They are three of the best I can even think of.
Yeah, it they always have several things in common, for sure, Pete. They're organized, number one. And
organization.
The organization. Okay, yeah. They have that organization.
Even if it doesn't seem like they do.
Yeah, but they do. And the X's and O's, certainly those guys had that down pat as far as offense, defense, and how they went about it. They treated their staff as everybody had a say in what was going on. That's very important. But I think the one thing that you find consistent with, no matter what level, the coaches that are successful are those that have that rapport with young people, and they can communicate with them, and they offer that balance. They're going to get after you a little bit to get you moving and get you going if you make an error, but they also give you that pat on the back when you do things real well. So that quality is so important these days, and I think that's one thing I was looking for when I'd hire coaches at Thomas Johnson, would be, you know, not only just their knowledge of a sport, but how do they communicate and motivate young people.
Now, Ben Wright, taking him as an example, in his later years, when he was, you know, even when he was getting ill, he just seemed to get so much respect from the young players that were under him, and he did some assistant coaching the last couple of years, and even then, I heard from the head coach, the kids just revered him, you know, and even if they didn't really know who he was, weren't even sure of his great career. So he just had, is it something you have or you don't?
I think it's something you have to, you can help and acquire and to a certain degree, but you have that ability, you've seen it, and you have the ability to connect with the kids. And, you know, some people feel that, you know, if someone's really good in a certain sport, they should be able to coach. Well, that's certainly not true, you know, because if you can't communicate with those kids and talk to them and show the respect to them, you'll get that in return for sure. And that's what those guys too, you know, that's one thing they did. And that's certainly one of the reasons why their players they're the ones that come back and, you know, to see them.
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Steve Nibbs, the outgoing athletic director at Thomas Johnson High School. You're listening to Frederick County Sports Weekend, brought to you by Nimeo Federal Credit Union. I'm Pete McLeod. Ed Lilly not with us for this edition of the show, but we have Steve Nibbs here. And the knowledge that he has and the games that he's seen, we could talk for like the next 3 to 4 hours and not be bored. I'm telling you, but just your life, just briefly, you grew up in Prince George's County, down there, played for Northwestern High School, and you went and you played for Frostburg State.
Yes.
And
baseball and football at Frostburg.
Baseball and football. So you're into baseball too, and,
yes.
And then of course we knew about the football, and then that's where you got your first teaching job in 1971 down at Thomas Johnson.
I was a student teacher at TJ Junior Senior High at the time. That building housed 7 through 12, and that was. A fun experience.
Tell us, the coaches in those days, once the season started, didn't get paid, the assistant coaches?
None. There were, the only coaches that got paid were those football coaches that started on August 15th. And those 2 weeks prior to school starting, they would get a stipend, a per diem. But after that, those 2 weeks, that was it. None of the other coaches in Frederick County were paid. So all those years prior to 1972, except for the 2 weeks in August for those football coaches, none of the basketball, wrestling, track.
The assistants.
Or head. Nobody.
Oh, no, the head didn't get
paid.
No. Is that amazing? Yeah, I mean, that's a 4 to 5 hour a day job anyway.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Plus your teaching job.
Yes, correct. And ADs didn't get paid back then either.
That is unbelievable.
It was all volunteer.
And then how did that change?
Well, Hal Grawl certainly was a...
and he has that column still every Sunday in the Frederick News Post?
Yeah, he does. And he and some other coaches, and I wish I could remember all the others that were involved in it, but they, in 72, formed the Frederick County Coaches Association and then started working on getting a salary set up, a salary scale set up for all coaches. And thank goodness for that. And
that is
so. Since then, they've been able to, you know, even though it should be more for what the hours those coaches put they were getting compensated for their time.
Well, yeah, because anybody that for some reason hasn't been around a high school athletic director, the coach, you can argue that the job would start as soon as you get down teaching around 2:30, 3 o'clock you start coaching, and that can go on as basketball. You can go on into the night. I mean,
yes, it's usually 2.5 hour practices for most sports. Some will go a little longer than that, but you figure, basketball is a 20-game schedule, not counting playoffs. Baseball's 18. Football's, one per week. There's 10 for varsity football. So all the preseason, postseason, and all that those coaches do, really, it's almost a year-round situation for a lot of those coaches because they'll have their preseason conditioning camps and then your regular season. Then you get back into lifting for postseason after that. And then you're right. There's a huge amount of time that those coaches spend getting their teams ready for not a great deal of money.
Yeah, even today.
No. But it's apparent that those coaches are doing because they're passionate about the kids and about their sport, their coaching, and they love it that much, and they're willing to do that. And that's just something that I had seen before, but certainly as an athletic director, got to see even more as to those coaches who give of their time like that. It's very rewarding for me, and I'm very grateful for them to be a part of the staff and do the things they do.
Now you taught, I know, and coached up in Middletown for a while, and you're back at Thomas Johnson. How did you work yourself into line to become the athletic director?
Well, I was coaching softball time, and Tuscarora was getting ready to open.
Okay.
And the principal, Jay Berno, was doing interviews. And I had thought that a challenge that I would look forward to doing would be to start a program from scratch.
And that would be Tuscarora. What a program, yeah, Tuscarora.
to start the softball program.
Yeah, yeah.
The softball program at Tuscarora. That would be something that I would look forward to doing, and I think a lot of coaches would enjoy that challenge as well. But so I applied to become a teacher in the physical education department, and then hopefully be the head softball coach. Well, Jay at the time said, "Well, why don't you apply to be AD?" And I never thought about it, really. Here I was at the time. I'm in a very comfortable.
You were teacher,
little coach. I
teacher
was teaching phys ed,
coach.
It's the teacher slash coach, enjoying that life. I was having fun, and I finally, sat down and was thinking to myself, why don't you just step out of the box a little bit, and apply if it doesn't happen. You still are able to coach and teach. So I applied. I didn't get the position at Tuscarora, but when I talked to Jay Berno, I asked him, could you give me some things next time if I applied to help me? I said, well, there was nothing wrong with your interview. The gentleman, it was Jim Deegan at the time, was able to be not only the athletic director, but he also needed an AP calculus teacher. So was like a two-in-one deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he said, don't worry, you'll get yours. And sure enough, a few months later, Tom steps away, and I was able to land that job. And it was, a good time for me in a school that I've been associated for the majority of the 45 years I've been in this county. So that was nice, very nice.
Thomas Johnson High School. Tom Dickman preceded you as athletic director.
Yes.
He left early 2000s, I guess.
Yeah, it was 2003. He went and took over the men's program at Hood.
Yeah, yeah.
Start the men's program at Hood. And, of course, he's still there, and his son is as well.
That's so right.
That's a great situation. He's, you know, Tom has done did a great job at TJ, and certainly for basketball, not only at the high school but in the state of Maryland, and he's continued to make that kind of mark at Hood College as well. And so, you know, I was able to watch him. And that's what you do. You always pick things from those coaches as you watch them over the years. And he was
He was certainly organized. He's organized now.
Oh, ooh, yeah, absolutely.
Tom Dickman is an organized man.
Yes, he is.
Really is. I wanted to ask you about, and you hate to name names, I know, but you've seen so many athletes come down, male and female. Can you pick out a couple of male and female athletes that just – absolutely, you still don't believe how good they were. You mentioned a current one, Cheyenne Johnson, a track star at TJ, who's incredible today. But, you know, going back through the years, do any pop up especially?
Well, certainly Terrence Morris was a basketball player at TJ and went and spent 4 years with Gary Williams at Maryland.
Oh, yeah, Terrence Morris.
Yeah, that you know, he had a tremendous career and was – certainly fun to watch him. And through him, I got to meet Coach Williams at the time because he came up to watch Terrence play.
What was Coach Williams like?
He was very down to earth. Very, you
really?
Know, you didn't, he didn't.
Gary Williams we're talking about.
Yes, he wasn't, it was nice. He was very personable. And as you'd known him for all your life type of.
Of course, he wanted Terrence Morris.
Oh, yes, and he got that. But Gary's personality. I know.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, his coaching. Okay. He was very fired up and whatnot. But I certainly enjoyed talking to him for a few minutes that evening. But there was Troy Wilson, who went on to play football in college at Notre Dame. Doug Maddox. I'm just trying to think of those kids. There was a number of Rob Griffin's, another one.
Was there an athlete that maybe started out like nobody knew who he was as a freshman and sophomore, and then all of a sudden just burst on the scene? Did you have any? Because I mean, in my high school career, I remember guys like that. They'd make fun of an eighth grade because they were so awkward, and then they'd be the greatest football player. You know?
Well, another one that comes to mind that just came out was drafted. It was Nate Hairston. It was another young man that, you know, you weren't sure what was going to – how things were going to go. He, you know, as far as future endeavors in that sport, and he went up and had an outstanding career at Temple and then gets drafted in the NFL. I'm trying to think of kids. I know I'd leave kids that names out.
Yeah, you
know,
as far as putting on the spot.
I had several softball players, Liz Hamill, and outstanding. You know, she went and had a great career in softball in college.
What was that? Your greatest thrill as a coach was winning that state championship in 1994.
That's something that certainly I enjoyed. It was, everything clicked that year. To me, everything really boils down to being around them every day and getting to be their coach. That's what I really enjoyed. Everybody likes to win. Everybody would love to win a state championship. Not very many when you look at all of them, get a chance to do that.
I was very fortunate,
you know, to have won one. And I will always cherish that for sure. But being around those kids, that's when the season was over, that's what I missed, you know, being with them every day.
That's why you may come back to coaching a little bit.
I certainly won't rule that out, Pete. I certainly can see myself doing that.
I wanted to just ask you about a few contemporary things that just give me short answers if you can. The shot clock for boys basketball in the state of Maryland, finally here. Yes. What took so long?
Good question, Pete. I wish I had the answer for that one.
But do you think it's a good thing?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was way overdue. Certainly will make the games, to me, more interesting for sure. They had it at every other level except high school. So I don't have the answer. I guess you'd have to ask those people that made that decision why. But it's a good thing, and so we'll see. The 35-point mercy rule, that's going to probably have to be tweaked, in my opinion, because if the score is 35 points or more in a second half, it can change so fast in basketball.
Yeah.
It could be at 35 and then go down the other end of the court, now it's back at 33 or 32. Now, so that's going to drive a lot of those clock operators nuts to keep running or go back to the regular time. So we'll see how that goes. That may need a little tweak after this coming season.
That's a real mess. Fastest growing sport in high school right now, in your opinion?
Fastest growing sport.
Most popular, one that most of the kids all of a sudden are flocking to? Is there one like that?
The one that I've seen not only around here, but nationwide seems to really picked up over the in recent years is lacrosse.
I was going to say.
That has really caught on, and yes, for both. And certainly given a lot of young student athletes a chance to play at the next level, because a number of schools are just starting programs, and so they're looking for players. So there's a way for a pretty halfway decent high school player to go on and play at the next level, get that education paid for. They may take their lumps early on as that program begins to grow. But then again, it was basically an East Coast sport.
Yeah, well,
basically around the Baltimore area.
It was Baltimore and New England that was a little bit up there. Yeah.
But now it's moving west. You've got the University of Denver, who's really taking off with the men's program. It's just going west, and so that's probably the one sport that has really taken off and gotten a hold of the kids.
And I don't know if you can answer this in less than a minute, but football, we know, still a safety issue. A lot of parents don't want their kids playing football. What do you feel about that as a former player and a coach? I would guess you're probably going to come out on the side that football is a good sport and say, but what do you feel about that?
Well, I think they're making strides, and I think they need to continue to do so as far as the safety, as far as the helmets are concerned. And every year you see the industry is starting to make sure that they are advancing and making that helmet as safe as possible for those athletes because of the concussion issue. The kids have gotten bigger and faster and stronger, and so the equipment needs to catch up with that to make sure that that you can play it safely, and I believe you can. It's just they're going to have to maintain that diligence in making sure that helmets, shoulder pads, whatever is where it needs to be to make it as safe as possible.
Well, I tell you, we are going to miss you and as an athletic director, and I know you're going to miss the job, but thank you for, as Frank Mitchell, our program director, said earlier today when he shook hands with you, thanks for all your dedication to the youth of Frederick County over the years, for over 45 years as athletic director, coach, and teacher, and what a career. Congratulations on that great career, and we hope you continue with in another direction, maybe.
I appreciate that, Pete. It's been fun for me, and I've enjoyed it, and I will miss a lot of aspects of it. But it's been great, and I'm certainly thankful that I was able to have a small part in kids' lives during their time in elementary, middle, or high school over those years. It's been a pleasure for sure.
Steve Nibbs stepping down as athletic director at Thomas Johnson High School, and we've had the pleasure of having him on here on Frederick County Sports Weekend. We're brought to you by Nimio Federal Credit Union. For Ed Luly, I'm Pete McLeod. Thank you for listening. Join us again next week on Frederick County Sports Weekend on WFMD.